And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to talk about James Harden's flagrant disregard for COVID protocols and how it maybe actually helps the Nets.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving's flagrant disregard for the NBA's media policy.
Wow.
And how it actually helps the Nets. And
Mike's flagrant use of the
flagrant.
Yeah, maybe.
And how I still can't say the word Irving.
Mm.
I keep saying Irving. What's wrong?
Lots
with you, Brian?
Lots to go over.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here, Salo Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Go on iTunes right now. 5 stars. We want them. We need them. We have to have them. It's the thing I read before I close my eyes at night.
Yep.
It's the one piece of positivity I like to take to bed with me.
No.
Before
I'm going to start texting you, Mike. You got to get more positivity.
Oh, sure. You're going to text me, Brian.
Notoriously bad texter.
Brian got a haircut, everyone. Hey!
I did. It was getting...
We don't do this podcast
Mike,
on...
Mike saw it at my longest. It was like Hagrid. Kind of looked like Hagrid. So I've been in like
a fictional character from Harry Potter.
I've been in a reclusive K-hole. So, but a back, you know, back with short hair.
We do have a jam-pack hot goss episode of The Glue Guys. It should be called The Goss Guys.
Nice.
Yeah, no, but today we have James Harden buzz about where he may want to go in the NBA. We have Kyrie Irving lack of buzz because he refuses to talk to the media.
Mm.
And we actually, Brian, you got your wish. I don't know if you actually watched them, but there are video clips of Kevin Durant in a Nets practice jersey walking around, shooting that basketball.
I saw it. Loved it.
Can I actually start with a small basketball thing before we even get into
it
the
It is
goss-goss?
A basketball podcast, Mike, you know.
I don't know if you saw this quote from Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet, new net. Mm-hmm. Landry Shamet. Nice. Sorry, I'll stop doing that.
No, it's good.
Landry had this to say. So he said that Steve Nash, he's been very impressed with Steve Nash as a coach, and he said Nash has been doing things in terms of a defensive approach he's never seen before in his career.
Mm.
What could Steve Nash be unveiling?
Do you think it's a box in one? Do you think they ever saw the box in one? It's been a while we were in the box in one.
I made the bad joke. It's a bad joke that it's an offside trap, which I know is a hockey term, but also maybe is it a soccer
term
too? You
know what? I was pretending like I understood that and I didn't. And I was like, oh. Good to know. It's a hockey thing, huh? What does it mean?
It's a hockey thing.
Yeah,
I say it. I don't know what it means. Sure. What could possibly... Seriously, I mean, at this point, is Steve Nash like a grand wizard of basketball that we just... I mean, of course he was on the basketball court, but is he... Are we underestimating sort of the tactician that Steve Nash will be as he gets... I mean, if he's inventing defenses that have been unseen by one Landry Shamet...
A defensive guru in his own right. Right? Isn't that the meme? I mean, I think we called it correctly last episode when we said who's going to be the X factor, and we just kind of pulled Steve Nash's coaching wizardry out of our butts. But it seemed, confirmed. Meme confirmed. You heard it here first, right? Isn't that what we do?
Yeah, this is, I mean, actually, we are the You Heard It Here First podcast for your Brooklyn Nets. We called that Kevin Durant would come back and play last season.
Nailed it.
That was correct. I've been thinking about trying to get on some of these Nets Zoom media press calls that Kyrie Irving refuses to be on, just because no one has asked Kevin Durant Would you have come back last season if it was a normal season?
Do you want to? That's actually a hilarious.
And if you're a new listener, you know, my entire viewpoint all of last season was that Kevin Durant was going to return.
Can we just plant that seed? Hey, Christian Winfield or, you know, Matt Brooks, any of you guys, when you're out in the scrum, do us a solid. Fire that
virtual scrum.
Matt, Mike is off site. He's summering indefinitely in Maryland. So you got to do it for us. Do you want to get into all that, by the way? I mean, was that enough of the basketball stuff to get into the goss? Are you ready to spill the tea yet?
Two more. Well, it's really one more thing. This is what Steve Nash, he said this on Sunday and it's Tuesday, so it's not like breaking news, but it's a heartening bit of news here before we get into the sewage that is sort of the rumor mill of the NBA.
Okay.
Kevin Durant, how he's looking. So Steve Nash says, I feel I'm very excited and happy for Kevin, who's had the longest layoff and the biggest challenge to overcome a career-threatening injury. He has done everything that could have been asked, and he shows a hunger and a desire of how much he loves the sport and wants to compete. So that's been fantastic. And he says about Kyrie Irving, his ability is unbelievable. I mean, his ability is off the charts. And to see him sharp and executing the way that we know he's capable of it is a shock to see. This is what Steve Nash is saying. One of the great point guards of all time is blown away by Kyrie's ability.
Well,
can I ask you percentage question?
Can I ask you a quick question right back first?
Please.
Is unimpinged a word? Would you say he's unimpinged? is that a word? We'll look that up.
Shoulder impingement, one of the more phantom injuries in the NBA.
Right, true.
It has been. He got surgery, so we hope that
phantom all, surgery. It could be a phantom surgery.
Yeah. a mental surgery, maybe. What?
No, I was gonna cue you up for your question, but you had more to it, so I'm glad it had miles.
No. The question I guess I have is, do you have any what's your percentage of doubt? I don't know what it would be, but these two guys are probably going to be healthy, right?
Oh, about health. Yeah, I'm an optimistic guy. I go into things optimistically. So I'm 100% healthy in both. Why? And I mean, you thought they were going to play last year.
I did think they were. I thought they were going to steam and back for the playoffs.
And now all of a sudden you're wringing your knuckles over there.
I feel pretty confident about Kevin Durant. You know, everything you hear from the guys who played with him in California to he's legitimately practicing in Brooklyn. It is kind of, I almost don't want to overrate it, though, because Durant did have the Achilles injury is extremely serious.
I can't believe you're mincing. You're getting all measly about this one.
I just think people, we all should just be, you didn't want to, last week in our episode, you did not want to do low ceiling, high ceiling Kevin Durant season. No. And I just think to reckon with the possibility that he may not be fully healthy would be the healthiest thing for all of us to do, our collective net psyche. We just have to, it's not going to happen, but we just need to know, and it's a possibility, and it may exist, that he may not be amazing. He's looked amazing. Everything we hear about him, it seems to be that he's incredible. I'm just saying, just keep it within your
I'm not doing healthy psyche. Okay, I haven't done healthy psyche since February. All right, I'm going manifest destiny. All right, that's where my head's at.
Manifesto destiny.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's go Kyrie first before James Harden.
Nice.
Okay. So first, Brian and I think are going to come at this issue from two different places.
Possibly.
The base.
I could waver. That's like me. That's a thing I would do. We'll see.
Yeah, and I'm actually wavering back with you too. Well, okay. Let's talk about the journey that we've gone on with Kyrie Irving over the past week. So the Nets in their first week of training camp, like every other team in the NBA, had a media week as opposed to one day where all the media shows up at HSS practice facility and they interview Durant, and they interview Irving, and Ian Eagle's up there doing a sort of moderated session with Sean Marks. Each day there was some couple of Nets and Steve Nash that was talking. And Kyrie Irving, I think, was due to talk on Friday or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out a statement instead of talking to the media. And everyone has read the statement, but the basics of it is saying that COVID has impacted us all in many ways and that he's excited for the season, that he's praying that everyone remains safe and healthy. And then he says this, instead of speaking to the media today, I'm issuing this statement to ensure that my message is conveyed properly. Then he goes on to say his message. I'm going to show up to work every day, ready to have fun, compete, perform, and win championships alongside my teammates and colleagues in the Nets organization. My goal this season is to let my work on and off the court speak for itself. Now, there was confusion when Kyrie originally put out the statement. People believed that he meant that he was never going to talk to the media all year. I was one of those people. Mm. But it has been clarified that no, it was a one-time thing that Kyrie will talk to the media. But just in that moment, he went to kind of make a statement.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Let's have the argument as though it's indefinite, because that's what we both believed when we disagreed. I'm prepared to
argue.
What
do you believe now?
That even if it's an indefinite self-ban on media, that that might not be – it's conceptually a difficult thing to – we can talk about it. I mean, do you want to – so I'm saying, like, do you want to argue from that POV, or should we
– Well, yeah. I think the correct POV is that he is going to limit his media interactions no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether that means a full media blackout, I think what it means is that there's just going to be weeks where we don't hear from Kyrie Irving except on his own Instagram feed. Now, the place I come from, journalism, big journalism, the school journalism guy, you know, sure. Newhouse, went to Newhouse. And I come from a place where I don't think that is helpful for the mission that Kyrie Irving believes he should be on, meaning he believes he's Mr. Misunderstood, you know?
Yeah.
Not Mr. Misindependent, Mr. Misunderstood.
Got it.
And I think by not talking to Greg Logan of Newsday or Brian Lewis of the New York Post or Alex Schiffer of The Athletic, he's only going to become more misunderstood if we, the media exists. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to rely on his Instagram feed for his comments, and it will lead to more misunderstanding.
Good. So let's go all like high school debate on this. We'll lay out our premises, and
which is what a podcast should be. We never disagree. This is like the first, you know.
True. So the premise is that he's going to be he's becoming isolated from the media. He will be less clear about his intentions and his thoughts, and thus and that'll be bad for him long term. That's the premise, basic premise.
My premise,
your premise.
That's my premise.
So I'll say, and let me just begin with a short story here for my premise.
I'm gonna put my mic on mute. I'll be back.
Yeah. If you have like a YouTube going with a U-log, feel free to turn that on. So I did go back and watch the Kevin Durant Zoom conference, and I want to preface this by saying I respect you, Mike, personally, on a personal level. I respect your craft, a journalist, a self-identified journalist. I do think that there is a little bit of a gap now in new media and old media journalistic standards and behaviors and practices. A lot of these guys are used to the Joe Rogan 16-hour-long podcast at this point. Not the lineup. Not to say that the old form is like dated and because I respect all that stuff. And those guys, Greg Logan and everybody you mentioned, totally respect that profession. You know, these are friends of the pod, many of them. So we could never.
Some of them aren't.
Some of them are enemies of the pod. Just kidding. No enemies. But yeah, so I think that I died a little bit, as I always do when watching not even just like a media scrum like that, but specifically a Zoom conference media scrub, and having to watch Kevin Durant, just the only thing he was trying to do that entire time was just not step on a rhetorical landmine. He really didn't want to offer anything like more colorful and dare to step on that landmine and end up on Twitter. And even in the clarification email that Kyrie sent, which was itself hyperbolic, I noticed on Twitter a vein that got picked up on, which was my goal. The first thing he said is my goal is to have fun. And I followed a Twitter thread about zeroing in on the, it's like, what is it? Well, you're getting paid $30 million a year to have fun, jerk. And then like, what, if you wanted to add that, that's fine. Put it as like the fifth thing. And so it was getting like deconstructed and dissected in exactly the way that it always is with Kyrie. And like, again, not without some amount of blame to be shared by all parties here. Like, this is a heightened situation. I do think, though, that there is a an impasse here with the Kyrie Irving conversation latency. There is something that is not getting to either side, and everyone seems very dissatisfied. And now the meme of Kyrie just like saying what I'm using my air quotes, embarrassing things, because, you know, I don't know that that's like embarrassing to say that you, one of your goals is to have fun, but in some Twitterverse perspective, it is. Those are, yeah, I don't know what I was saying, but that's damaging. Alternatively, and here's what I'll say. Here's where I think that I would be able to waver pretty heavily on this, like taking a reduced role in shouldering the media load, is that it puts you on a rarefied sort of like separate hierarchy than the rest of the guys on the team. You're like, I'm so, I'm a bit like, just to say that, like, I am, the spotlight is too much on me to the point where I actually need to step back. And like, you know, for the Joe Harris's and Spencer Dinwiddie's and Caris LeVert, like you guys can have that because you want it more than me right now. And I don't need that. There is a potential that that could sow some derision in the ranks. And for that reason, I think that that's like a thing I hope that he ran by everybody and all the channels. I have no faith that he did.
Because he didn't even use the team's PR staff to send out the message. Exactly. Just a little inside baseball. Sure. His own PR, his personal PR person, which is fine. Most NBA players actually have their own via their agency. Who their agent is, but he didn't use, I'll name names, Eli Perlstein or Aaron Harris, who worked for the Nets. He used his own person. This was a personal thing. So I don't think Kyrie had a sit down with newly minted millionaire Joe Harris to talk about.
No, doesn't seem likely, but you know, we don't know. So it's all hearsay. But again, I guess like this for me goes back to a little bit, just like the like kind of tunnel vision I had watching the Zoom conference with Kevin Durant, in which he was just kind of like peppered with question after question about like, do you think you're gonna your leg's gonna explode this season if you run on it? And he just had to be like, I really hope not. I don't know. Like over and over again. And I don't know how much that kind. I don't know what we can do in a macro media trend to like, you know, shift away from that, which I think it works a little bit better in like a live scrum kind of energy format versus the Zoom. But I do think we need to pivot away from that because we're not getting any useful information. It's only there to like watch Kevin Durant go, you know, dip through the lasers like in Catherine Zeta-Jones in that movie. Like, what's that movie? The Catherine Zeta-Jones movie where she's going through the lasers?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking of Mission Impossible, the first
one. Yeah, that's another one with lasers.
There's a lot of lasers movies when we were growing up. Like, lasers were just a big part of everyone's lives. You know? They were really important. I remember thinking as a kid that lasers, like, we were all going to have laser guns when we grew up. Oh, like Han Solo. Like, I thought that would just be ubiquitous by this point. I don't know anyone with a laser gun. Do you know a single person with a laser gun?
The movie with Val Kilmer, where they're like making the laser gun. Do you remember that?
It's like a science movie.
Like he's like in science college, you know.
Oh, yeah, where he wears glasses because he's smart, right?
He's like a radical genius. He's like one of the like geniuses that does drugs.
You're gonna have me look up Val Kilmer movies on IMDb right now.
I think it's worth it to pause the podcast.
Val Kilmer's whole life is one of my favorite type of things
that
ever existed.
A joy.
Yeah.
Anyways,
he's done
a lot of movies, by the way.
He's been in like an insane number of films for a guy who I think most people would believe that he disappeared. The movie was Real Genius. I believe that's what it was.
Real Genius. And I was even using the word genius.
Teenage geniuses deal with their abilities while developing a high-powered laser for a university project. When their professor intends to turn their work into a military weapon, they decide to ruin his plans. Mm-hmm. That's a dope movie.
Deal with their abilities. That's what we're all doing. Anyways, that's a Mike. What parts of what I just said strike you as total insanity?
So I'm going to look. Your argument was like a deer laid out on a table, and I'm the Lannister dad guy
just carving it up. I'm about to carve up your argument, Brian. Two things I want to say about Kyrie Irving. One is that we have evidence that his words used in non-traditional media have hurt someone. That someone is LeBron James. LeBron felt sad because of something Kyrie Irving said. This was recently come up on Richard Jefferson's podcast, Road Trippin', though the podcast was actually on like Time Warner LA's sports channel that the Lakers are on. LeBron was on Richard Jefferson's pod.
Okay.
And here's what, it was a great conversation. There's a lot of it online, but here's something that LeBron said. He says that he was hurt by Kyrie's comments that Kyrie said on KD's pod about how Kyrie never played with someone who could take the last shot in a game like he could. And this is direct quote from LeBron James, the second greatest player of all time, behind John Amusa. It was a little like, damn. Yeah. Once I got the transcript, so LeBron got a transcript of Kyrie's words. This isn't just aggregation media. This is full transcripts here. Okay, this is Nixon recordings.
He had the assistant.
Transcripts.
Yeah.
LeBron, back to LeBron. He says, damn. I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I've hit game-winning shots my whole life. That's him kind of quoting himself. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because I played with Kyrie. I only wanted to see him succeed. I only wanted him to see be an MVP in our league, and it just didn't align. It didn't align. We were able to win a championship. That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align. And I only cared about his well-being on and off the floor, but it kind of hurt me a little bit. Kyrie's own words on his friend's podcast hurt the second greatest player of all time's feelings. And I think that's important.
Can I address,
Brian,
these points individually?
I'm allowing this to be an extended hearing where it's back and forth, Democrats v. Republicans. I'm the Democrats, you're the Republicans.
I've got 10 minutes to respond here.
Yes, go.
Don't you think, in just response to that, maybe a weakness in my own, I'm just going back now and going to like steel man my own argument. I would say that the carving out the new media stuff, I wouldn't do again. I would just say like he should not trust himself in front of a microphone where it ends up in public hands. Because like I think honestly, Kyrie Irving, I think he's a nice guy who doesn't think about the consequences. I don't think he thought about – I earnestly don't believe he thought about LeBron James in that moment. I think he just says things.
So here's my thing. When we listen to the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant podcast, and we've done this before where we've heard Kyrie talk, like I enjoy Kyrie's – like the way he talks, what he talks about, his viewpoint. I enjoy that. And so I think it kind of all links back to like I don't know if he understands that it isn't actually helpful to not talk to Greg Logan or Alex Schiffer or Brian Lewis, right? It's actually hurtful to do so because all those respected journalists will do is because they're not, you know, I think we do know that Kyrie is going to give them media access. And this kind of scheme is partly about, in his mind, establishing a better relationship, a more honest relationship between those reporters and himself. And so as to not just offer himself up to the world, maybe he'll offer himself up to a select few. It didn't make any sense to not go to that media. Like, what were you going to say that was going to be so bad?
Well, that's
you
it.
I mean, to say I go, anything.
I kind of go back
it's
to
just like, just
my favorite example of the Kyrie being like stepping in at stuff is the one where he named like half the team and not the other half the team. And I imagine in his mind, he's like, I'm doing a nice thing and remembering some guys' names and like shouting them out. And and what we as like the sort of like maybe overly attuned or just like slightly more high EQ, who knows, like public hear when he says that is, oh, we only hear the names that you left off because, you know, we're pretty cynical in general about this kind of stuff. I think he earnestly thought that it was a nice thing to do to name those names, and he didn't think about the names that he left off, and just was like, okay, like that point's done. I'm just going to move on before I name like, I name everybody on the team. Like, I'm already five games deep here, so that's honestly how I think about it.
No, and we've done this before. I think there's so many times when Kyrie says one thing and then it gets turned around. I mean, the primary cause, I think the thing that probably like damaged him the most was the internal discussions going on between the NB Players Association, S Basketball Players Association, when they were deciding whether to actually come back and play basketball or not. And his thought process has pushed to sort of be like, hey, we should think about social justice. Is this the right thing for the movement? Him saying that turned into Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out Kyrie Irving, the agitator, and not Kyrie Irving, social justice thinker, right? Mm. Like, as Kyrie, he's coming from a very pure place of wanting social justice change. And then you see that, that must be so infuriating. And I get it. But I don't think, like, avoiding, I'll use the name, Greg Logan. I don't think avoiding Greg Logan is going to stop the meme aggregators out there.
Why is Greg Logan the name? Why is he the name?
He's just such, he seems like such a nice guy. Yeah. And he also, Greg Logan, if you follow him on Twitter, you know, massive liberal. Like that's like actually the kind of guy Kyrie should probably connect with, because he probably shares a similar view. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, and he should connect with Alex Schiffer, because, you know, Alex Schiffer's one of our dogs. You know, one of our boys. Sorry I put you in the position
dog pound.
To do that. I'm telling you, I understand why Kyrie took the step that he did. I would just say to him, like, the less you speak, the more people speculate. And a person who has refused to talk to the media is James Dolan. And Dolan has now become a caricature of himself. He's not as bad as I think as he's maybe portrayed in the media. He's maybe close, but not as bad. And it's because he just doesn't talk to the media. He just doesn't do it. And Kyrie, if you don't engage with, you know, these are respected, if you don't engage with reporters, you're just going to, it's just going to lead people to say like stuff. And then you're kind of become a caricature.
Here's what I'll say.
Not helpful.
My last other point about this, and then we can move on to.
Yeah. Cause who cares? Yeah.
To the hotter goss. The one situation, like I'm pro it. I think for the most part, I will say that it's a bit of a pressure cooker situation if we don't come out of the gate swinging, stacking dubs. If we're taking some L's early and they're like, who's the leader on this team? And one of the two guys is not taking questions after games. And that becomes a situation where it becomes more pressurized. That's going to be bad. That's going to be bad for people.
Yeah. And you kind of said this point about like the other players on the Nets, how they may feel about this. Mm-hmm. I would just point everyone towards the great story by Jovan Buha of The Athletic about the Clippers, what happened with the Clippers last season. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard had a habit of not doing the press, the media stuff after games until like an hour after the games ended, which is a very long time. Which what ends up happening if you've never been in a locker room post-game, which I imagine most people haven't, game ends, all the reporters run with their laptops to go back to hear the coach say something. You know, it's probably usually just in a hallway where the coach is speaking. And then someone like Aaron Harris will let the media into the locker room as guys are changing. And the media stands in a little tight circle and waits for someone to sort of indicate to them, like, hey, I'm ready to talk, after they put clothes on. And if you, that time frame is like 20 minutes. So if, what would happen if Kyrie, let's say Kyrie, I mean, there's not going to be a locker room. And that's the other element of this. It's like, how hard is our Zoom to talk to?
Oh, yeah.
But like, if Kyrie is going to dodge the media, Kevin Durant's going to have to talk more. Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie. Mostly, they don't really want to talk to media after games anyways. No. So you're passing the buck.
Mm.
And you're one of the leaders on the team. And you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do it.
Buck pass.
You shouldn't do that.
Speaking
of passing bucks.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. Oh. That's funny.
Because you know what I'm about to say, right?
Yeah. We will take a break. We'll be right back. And we will dive into the James Harden situation, which is just growing day by day.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, Brian, passing the buck.
Thanks.
So we've had some developments over today dealing with James Harden. And I think the headline is that the market for Harden is wider than believed because Harden is allowing it to open up in a way. James, via Tim McMahon and Woj from ESPN, this is what they're reporting, is that Harden has told the Rockets that he would be open to a trade to the 76ers and possibly other contenders, of course, the Nets. And this is the quote from a story, not from Harden, but from a source, or from Woj and McMahon. After it was clear there was no traction in talks with the Nets, Harden expressed to the Rockets that he would be agreeable if a trade with the 76ers materialized. And Harden also indicated that other teams could fit his criteria for a preferred destination. I do have a question for you, Brian.
Mm.
Are you scared? Are you like worried? Are you
in general
worried? Yeah, I mean, you know, it seemed like the Nets were going to get James Harden. Pooch reported that there was a verbal agreement in place. We haven't seen that happen, though. I think verbal agreements can be destroyed because they're verbal. They can be hidden very well.
Oh yeah,
but would you be crestfallen if James Harden was not a Brooklyn Net?
Well, let's take a step back.
Okay.
As we often do. And do the 360 degree analysis of this entire situation. Mike, get that head on a swivel because we're going to the club. All right? We're going to the club. Put on your Sunday best. Put on what are your hush puppies. Get them on because we're going to the club. And did you see those videos of him with the most – this has got to be an SEO – unfriendly name for a rapper, which is Lil Baby.
Lil Baby. Yeah, big deal.
Is he a big deal?
Oh, yeah. Big deal.
Actually, I looked at him on YouTube and I didn't find like the a big breakout jam. Was my SEO off?
I think you're missing out.
Was it? I saw a couple ones from like a couple of days ago that were, you know, had their millions of views. Did fine. I didn't. But okay, so he's the guy.
He's the guy. He's a guy, but yeah.
Don't you think Lil Baby has some SEO problems, though? It feels a little bit middle of the road as far as the little...
Because you're going to end up on like BuzzFeed lists of cutest little babies.
Right.
And that's a good place to be, but you're not going to stand out amongst all the little babies.
That breaks out of your ecosystem a bit. You know, it's good cross-pollination, as they say in the digital marketing biz.
But where is he supposed to go? He can't go Big Baby because you have Glenn Big Baby Davis. And also pictures of big babies... very popular.
Somebody out there has probably done this, but like how many like Spotify accounts start with Lil? There's got to be a nightmarishly long list of that.
It's got to start at the. The is the most common word.
You're going, oh, I see, yeah. And then,
yeah, and then Lil.
I was going to say Lil. The Lil. What's up with gifting somebody $100,000? What is that? That's the weirdest thing. I was on board with James Harden until I saw that. I was like, that's such an awkward thing to give someone as a gift.
How do you give it to, okay, how would you give someone $100,000 in that way?
Quiet, in the email, pay, if I was going to do it, it'd be like, do you need this? Are you like, I PayPal it to them. I don't know. Not in the public, I'm worried for Well, anyways, there's a lot to go over that whole situation. First of all, watch out for that bag. You know, have somebody keep an eye on that thing because there's $100,000 in there. Secondly, so weird. So what's the? So you're just gifting people money? Is that what people do in late stage capitalism? Is that what we're reduced to? Just take my money.
And it's a fairly famous rapper being gifted money by an extremely famous basketball player. It's not it's not like those great stories of like some guy who, you know, some famous person who leaves the $10,000 tip to a waiter in these tough times. It's like, it's literally the worst form of capitalism, which is like money being changed around at the top level.
It's not quite lending you my pen, but it's, you know, we both have pens. We've been to this, we've been to Staples. We're guys who are bestowed with pens. You know, it's a weird thing to give another guy a pen and be like, it's just a normal pen, but like, I've got so many of these pens, like, but I've got so many of these pens.
Well, you and I, you know, we're kind of past the wedding circuit in our lives.
That's a great comparison though, because everyone's just giving each other like, you know, that like, same size check back and forth.
Jessica and David gave us $300. So we need to give them $300. So we basically net zero. Yeah. But Tommy and...
I'm
now blanking on a girl's name, but Tommy and Sarah, you know, only gave us $100. So let's jip them and give them like 80, you know, make $20 off of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like moves around. The money moves around.
The money moves around. Right. So anyways, it's strange. But anyways, so he's been out and there's the whole COVID thing. So I was on board with the James Harden situation until I saw him gifting $100,000 in cash. That's too weird for me. I don't like that. That's not chillbro behavior.
It's the killer.
Yeah. That's not what I like.
Frankly, okay, if he goes to Philly, I will be sad because as much as I think as good of a player Ben Simmons is, if it's Ben Simmons for James Harden, Joel Embiid is a better team, particularly if you have Seth Curry and you have, you know, Danny Green, you have those shooters around those two. That's a really dynamic offensive team. So I would be worried about that if I'm a Nets-centric person. But I got to admit, it doesn't matter what any other team, I would almost feel like the Nets dodged a bullet.
It only really bothers me if he goes to an Eastern Conference team that's immediately like better than us now because of it. Like that's the only, I mean, and that's definitely plausible or whatever. And I'll be slightly butthurt. I was always like sort of I love the idea of the James Harden thing because it's like I have a podcast and it's how fun is that to have like a crazy amazing super team that's like has inherent conflict, you know, in its DNA with a bunch of surly weird players. Great. As like a person who wants to stack chips and dubs outside of having a podcast, I was a little bit, you know, I could go either way on this thing.
The thing that Harden presents is that he could create an explosion in a bad way internally in the Nets locker room before we even really get like the KD Kyrie Nets.
It is, like, if it became the high ceiling KD
Kyrie Harden Nets, it would be like, you know, maybe it all just Harden and Kyrie feud because they both want the ball and that it has that potential.
Yeah.
So as much as I think it's a no brainer, if you can get James Harden, I think it's obvious at this point that the Rockets want it to be known that the package that the Nets have currently is not enough. Mm. And we've heard from other media sources that what the Rockets desire is a all NBA young star or a NBA all-star who is young, plus a boatload of picks. And, you know, if you kind of do the whole look at the contenders for the possible James Harden trade, Ben Simmons for Harden's at the top. I don't think that's any question. It's just, does Philly want to do that? This Michael Porter Jr. hype has gone way too far.
It's really hype. That's too much.
Can we just harken back for a second? The comments that Michael Porter Jr. had in the bubble while the Nuggets, he was demanding the ball in the media. He was talking about how he needed more shots. Mm-hmm. When he has Jokic and Murray, who's on like this iconic playoff run that Jamal Murray was on, and Michael Porter Jr. is talking about he needs more shots. And I think he had like some weird comments about like political stuff too. I don't know if he's like a fully, he's the guy you want to be leading your franchise. I just think it's a little crazy to put him as like this golden asset. And even though the Nuggets maybe believe he is a nugget of gold, he isn't worth, like, it's too much. And can I say another thing, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Hero, please.
Wow.
Please.
Wow.
Can we stop? I mean, the things I'm hearing from Miami is like they would never give a Bam Adebayo for Harden. Okay. I think that's actually not correct thinking. I think you should give a Bam Adebayo for Harden, particularly if it's just one for one.
But it's a matter of preference.
Yeah, I get it. Bam Adebayo is really young. He's culture. He's really versatile. I get it. Okay. But this I've heard Heat fans be like, can they do this trade without giving up Tyler Hero? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Tyler Hero? We're really wondering if you could hold on to the precious asset that is Tyler Hero for James Harden. James Harden is a top five offensive player in the history of the NBA. Tyler Hero had 15 nice games.
Yeah.
Let's stop it with the Tyler Hero talk.
I've noticed, and this is like, have you been monitoring the sports card market at all?
No.
So like the sports card world and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards are like having this crazy economic bubble. And like it's a big crack packing on Twitch and YouTube is like a big thing. And it's really interesting to see just like how like the Twitter like sphere of hype and the crack packing hype and like which players it like coalesces around. And I've never seen quite so much crossover as the Tyler Hero story. Bol Bol was maybe the biggest version of it, but like you can just see the soaring prices of all those things. But yeah, I think people are going to be a little forlorn when Tyler Hero comes back to reality invariably, or maybe not. Maybe we have him all wrong and he's just he's the GOAT, you know. We never know.
But before we wrap up today, because we're going to wrap up in a second.
Okay.
I think we both agree that the Nets aren't going to get Harden now. Like, if it happens, it'll be late.
Oh, yeah. So for strategically, like in terms of getting the best deal, this is all great for us. Like, we're in, you know, a position where he's truly driving the point home that he's going to force this trade. And things are getting sour quickly, which as a buyer in the trade package here, great. You know, that's what you want because that leverage is going to get real pretty soon once games are getting played and maybe those L starts saying, hey, by the way, how about that John Wall trade? We haven't talked about that. Did you like that?
Yeah. As a born and bred Wizards fan, I think it's great. I don't know why people are so like even a little bit down on it for the Wizards. John Wall was one of the more untradeable players in the NBA, and they ended up getting Russell Westbrook, who has flaws, but was an all NBA performer this very past season. Mm-hmm. So like John Wall, I'm sure he looks good in practice. I understand that he's lost some weight. That's fantastic. People typically lose weight after surgeries. You know, that happens sometimes. I think it's part of rehab to like not be as chubby.
Oh, wow. I'm excited for my PT then. Wow.
But love John Wall. John Wall was amazing as a Wizard. Great in the community. Westbrook's just like way better. You know what's funny is that like kind of like the right trade that the Rockets want would be if the Wizards traded Bradley Beal for James Harden. Isn't that like who they want is Bradley Beal? So then you bring back Westbrook and Harden and they're just in DC together.
It is. There it is.
Just one more thing.
Please.
Who would be the team you'd least like to see James Harden arrive on? Within reason, right? Like he's not going to be a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think it's the Sixers because it actually makes them better than us. Like I do think the Embiid James Harden combo is, maybe not 100% obviously better, but it's like it, you know, I'm comfortable with the 76ers and like putting them, like penciling them in between 5 and 7 at this point. Not a real true threat. But adding Harden would change that. And that's not what I want.
Yeah. And I think the thing that it would do is it's not like a negative because I don't think Simmons and Embiid are like super close. So it wouldn't create this like fracture within the locker room that, oh my God, Ben Simmons has been traded. Where if James Harden goes to certain places and certain guys get taken out of the team, it would create a fracture.
Yes. one last thing. Like, do you think at James Harden's birthday, when Lil Baby shows up and he has this whole long story with this like super thoughtful gift, maybe it's like a leather-bound notebook or something because they'd had this moment on a beach where James Harden was like, oh, man, I really wish I could, like, start rapping and stuff like you do. Like how do you start? You just got to write it down, man. And then, like, they have this, like, beautiful exchange. And so he gets this, like, world-class, amazing notebook. And James Harden's like, this is awesome. Thank you. Where's the $100,000 though? Because remember when I gave you a gift, it was $100,000. Is that in the box somewhere? Did I forget that?
I'd be worried if I was a little baby because it puts him into an unwinnable situation. He's giving James Harden $500,000 or he's letting down a guy who just gave him $300,000.
You know how like Curb Your Enthusiasm sort of does this with like that sort of tier of rich people, like that next tier of rich people. There needs to be a Curb Your Enthusiasm for the people who are that rich.
Well, I only to relate it back to me, middle class Mike here. I would only give like my siblings gifts, not on their birthdays, but on like Hanukkah time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember having like given my brother would give me like an amazing gift and I gave him something that was just like not inspirational, not emotional, just like a pair of socks.
Mm.
The next year he came back and met me at my level. Right. Like he didn't continue to elevate himself. He was like, okay, I know what relationship I'm having with my brother. And it's a cheap one. And that's what I'm on. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Hanukkah's this week.
Isn't it? Yeah. I was going to say.
Light those candles, spin those dreidels. Let's do it. Eat those latkes.
Shout outs to the email sphere. We didn't get to you this week. We'll get to you next week, though. I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. We'll keep doing that. Next week. I see you guys, though. See you guys. Big love.
Thank you all for listening. We will be back in your ears as soon as possible. iTunes, 5 stars. We need them. We want to have them. Brian, thank you.
Michael, thank you as always.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.